Today I want to start a new series from the book of James, which is found towards the end of the New Testament, right after the book of Hebrews. And you might be wondering, well, why the book of James? Well, for one, James doesn't have hard to pronounce names or places. None of this so-and-so begat so-and-so, like in some of the Old Testament books, nor does it have instructions on how to sacrifice animals or how to prepare certain types of offerings. James is a relatively short book, only 5 chapters, but it actually addresses topics that include trials and temptations, listening and doing, faith and deeds, something about taming the tongue, wisdom, submitting to God, and praying for the sick. There was a period in my Christian walk where I read from the book of James pretty much every day, and I would just keep reading a few verses each day over the 5 chapters. And it was really, I found that it was really fully loaded with God's truth, and that it was very applicable for everyday living. In fact, James is a very practical book filled with exhortations for Christians, for us, in how we should live out our faith in a relevant way in today's society. Some have even called the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. And so I wanted to focus on James since it really provides a blueprint for living out our Christian faith. And I hope that we will all take some time during the week to start reading from the book of James. Again, it's a really short book, but I hope that as we read and as we learn and grow together, that we can really meditate on these truths that God is teaching us. Just a few quick background facts before we start reading from chapter 1. The book of James, was written by James, who scholars think was probably Jesus's brother, half-brother, and a leader of the Jerusalem Council, as mentioned in Acts chapter 15. And the letter was written to Jewish Christians who had been scattered throughout the Mediterranean world because of persecution. It was like a handbook for them on how to live out an authentic faith in the midst of suffering, in the midst of temptation, and in the midst of social challenges. So let's read James chapter 1, 1 through 4 together. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, it's really quite interesting that James jumps right into this letter and talks about trials right away. You know, it seems like such a heavy topic, but from the get-go, he starts talking about trials. And, you know, you'll notice that there's only one verse of greeting, there's only one verse of salutation, and then wham, he goes right into talking about trials. You know, it's not like he kind of slowly eased into the topic, but it would seem fitting as he was addressing the Jewish Christians who were scattered throughout the region because of persecution. Now, we may not be as persecuted today as those early Christians were, but nevertheless, we do face trials. Now, when I mention the word trial or trials, what immediately comes to your mind? Do you cringe? I kind of cringe when I think about trials. Is there fear? Maybe it's something that you really don't want to go through because there might be some suffering involved. Maybe there might be something that we have to give up or some pain that's associated with the trial. Even before we go into this first chapter, I want to ask you to ponder a few things about trials and tribulations in general. How recent was your last trial? Are you going through a trial right now? What would you consider your biggest trial that you've gone through? Was it maybe losing your job? Or maybe losing a loved one? Was it going through a period of sickness or I know some of us are going through cancer treatment right now. Or maybe it was going through family or marital discord. Perhaps maybe uncertainty about the future, or not knowing where you might end up for college for some of our high school students. And then another question I want to ask you to ponder is, what was your attitude or your perspective as you go through trials? Has that attitude changed as you go from trial to trial? Do you like going through trials? What has God been teaching you through each trial that you go through? You know, as we look at the passage in verse 2, James really points out to the believers that he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Notice he doesn't say, if you face trials, but rather, whenever you face trials. Trials are a given. It's pretty much a guarantee. Trials will come, whether we like it or not, and we should actually expect them. It shouldn't be a surprise to us when trials come our way. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but James is painting a very realistic picture. I'm just trying to keep it real, just like James is keeping it real. But really, living the Christian life, we are gonna face trials. And he even says that there may be many kinds of trials. So there might be some big trials, there might be some small trials, there might be some trials that are kind of medium-sized trials. But regardless, there will be trials. And living the Christian life doesn't mean that we will live a life that's always rosy or trial-free. In fact, sometimes there might be even more trials because of our faith in God. You know, God never promised that we would live a life that is full of material wealth or that we would never get sick, but he did promise that he would be with us through every situation. You know, in Isaiah 41:10, it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, last month during the Christmas season, Pastor Ted reminded us of the Christmas psalm, Psalm 23. And in verse 4, where David was talking about the Lord is our shepherd, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay the difficulty of going through trials or providing any sort of pat answer or any Christian needs to say, oh, you know, it's okay, just pray about it, God will get you through. You know, but when we do go through trials, we discover the kind of faith that we really have, or perhaps the kind of faith that we ought to have. You know, when the going gets tough, where's our faith? When the rubber meets the road, where's our faith? You know, it's easy to trust in God when things are well, when we're getting good grades in school, when life is going well, when we're quote-unquote stable. But can we still trust in him when things aren't going well? When we have struggle, can we still trust in the Lord that God is a faithful God, that God will see us through because of his love and his grace? You know, when things are spiraling out of control, can we rely on him? You know, trials can actually bring us closer to God himself. When things get tough, we actually have a choice. We can either run towards God, or we can run away and run directly into the trial or circumstance. You know, James continues by saying in verses 3 and 4, he says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And it says that let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, the first thing is, he says that through our trials, our faith is tested. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you actually like tests?
I don't like tests. For those of you who know me, I guess I should say up until high school, you know, as a good Chinese boy, you know, I would study for tests, I would prepare, and I would try to do well, right? I would prepare and do well. But then after high school, that's a different story. But I don't really like tests, okay? But James says that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, right? Through trials, our faith is tested, and that testing produces perseverance. Now, are we able to actually persevere when we go through trials? Are we able to really continue trusting in the Lord despite uncertainty and the difficult circumstances? Or do we just throw in the towel easily? How many of you are runners? Endurance runners? Marathon runners? A few, maybe? Okay, Wesley, I saw your hand go up. But you know, I'm not really a runner. I've kind of tried to run, but like, you know, maybe the most I can do is about 3 miles, but that's with a lot of huffing and puffing. But there comes to a point when you run where you just kind of like, I don't know, this is what I hear. It's not personal experience, but you can ask Wesley. But there seems to come to a point where you just so, like, you're so tired, but like you know that like if you just keep pushing through, somehow you'll get a second win, and somehow you'll get to that next mile, and then from the next mile, it'll get to the next mile, and then somehow, I don't know, this is what I hear, somehow it gets easier. Is that true, Wesley? Yeah, sort of, right? Okay, but there's the perseverance, right? When you're running this race, when you're you know, running a marathon or running that. You just push through, and then somehow there's a second wind, there's an euphoria, there's this thing that pushes you forward. But James is talking about this testing of our faith that produces perseverance. You know, are we able to cling onto his promises, into God's word that's laid out in scripture? Do we even know what God's promises are? You know, I shared a couple of verses earlier, but you know, but God's word is filled with so many of his promises. And a lot of those promises we can actually claim and apply to the trial that we face. Can we persevere through trials? You know, and sometimes, you know, what's really hard is sometimes we think we're the only one going through a certain trial. And sometimes we think, oh, no one's gonna understand. And we think that we're the only one going through it. But you know what? God has actually given us each other. He's given us this community here at New Vine. You know, like I've said before, we're not meant to live as Lone Ranger Christians. We need each other to cheer each other on. We need each other to pray for each other, especially when we go through trials, so that we can persevere, so that we can push through, so that we can get to that next mile and say, you know what? Somehow, I got my second wind, and I'm gonna push through until I'm done with that trial. We need to walk together as a meaningful community so that we can go through trials together and persevere. Now, believe it or not, trials actually help us mature in our Christian walk. You know, we're not meant to stay as spiritual babies who just drink milk all the time. You know, we're supposed to grow up and transition to solid food. You know, James talks about being mature and complete in verse 4. We're not meant to be stagnant in our Christian walk. You know, some of us may have been Christians for a very long time, while others of us, we may have just become Christians recently. Are we desiring to mature in our walk with God? Are we wanting to grow in our trust in him? Are we closer to him this year, closer than last year? Are we growing in our faith? You know, trials actually produce a deeper trust in the Lord himself. And it really contributes to our maturing process as believers. You know, our faith and our character, they're actually refined and they're developed only through trials and testing. I'm sure you've all heard of the phrase, no pain, no gain, right? Well, trials are kind of like that, you know, no pain, no gain, you know, in our spiritual walk. If we're not willing to go through trials, if we're not willing to really take them, face them head on, we may not be able to grow in our faith in the Lord. You know, before Cheryl and I got married, we had to go through some pretty significant trials, some pretty difficult circumstances. You can talk to me more offline if you're interested in the details, and we're more than willing and happy to share with you. But I'm not going to go into the details right here. But it really wasn't something that I had signed up for. It really was not something that I was expecting when I first started dating her. But through those trials, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about humility. I learned a lot about submission. And I also learned a lot about the power of blessing. And I really couldn't control the situation, even though I really wanted to control it so badly, but it was totally out of our control. I essentially had to give up my control, swallow my pride, and submit to the Lord, and really learn to trust him every step of the way. And during that time, many brothers and sisters, some of you sitting right here, all of our pastors prayed for us. They encouraged us. They knew what we were going through. They counseled us. They cheered us on. They spoke truth. They spoke life into our lives. When we felt that we could not go any further, our community of brothers and sisters came around us and they championed us. We really saw God's community rallying behind us. You know, when you go through a trial, please know that you have the body of Christ to go through that trial together. Please do know that you are not alone. It's not meant for you to bear that trial on your own. That is why God has blessed us with this community here. The whole thing probably lasted a few years, actually, from, I would say, start to finish. But now looking back, there's actually a lot of good that came out of it. There was healing, there was reconciliation, and there was a sense of God's name being glorified. I know I'm talking in generalities, but because this is being recorded, I just need to be general. But again, you can talk to me offline. There's a ton to share. Our marriage actually became stronger because of it. And I was able to trust in God, even though I didn't know what the outcome would be. And in actuality, God really surprised both of us of what that outcome was. The outcome was actually better than what I could have ever imagined or dreamed of. You know, when we recognize that God is all that we have when we're going through trials, it causes us, or it even forces us, to grow closer to him. You know, when you've come to a point of complete desperation, when there's nothing else that you can do, when there's nothing else that you can control, and you are totally dependent upon Almighty God, something happens. It forces you to utterly to just submit to him. It forces you to run to him. It forces you to run into his open arms. And he does something special. He gives you strength. He gives you perseverance. He gives you endurance to get through that trial. But again, we have a choice. When faced with trials, do we run away from the trial or run away from God, or do we run to God and say, God, you have to help me through this trial. I cannot do it on my own. I don't know what to do. You need to strengthen me. You need to get me through this trial. So James reminds us in verse 2 that we should expect trials. So don't be surprised when trials come. Just know they're going to come, okay? In fact, expect them and prepare for them. You know how I was saying, try to prepare for the test, prepare for them. And I'll kind of go into a little bit about what does that really mean? How do you prepare for a trial, okay? But knowing that trials will happen, how should we live when trials actually hit us face on? And what should our attitude or our perspective be? You know, in verse 2, in the beginning, James talks about, or he tells the believers, to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He says, consider it pure joy. So I don't know about you, but like I said, when I think of the word trial, I don't think of joy. I think of fear. I think of pain. I think of, like, get me out of here, God. I do not equate trial, the word trial, with the word joy. Now notice James says, it's not just joy, but it's pure joy. Like, not just a little joy, but 100% pure joy. Now how in the world are we supposed to consider going through trials joyfully? Maybe we can tolerate trials, maybe the small ones, or maybe even when we're faced with trials, maybe we can kind of just get by. But how are we supposed to consider it pure joy? It really seems hard, right? Keeping it real, it just seems like a tall order. Like, God, how am I supposed to consider this trial that you're putting to me in my path something that I should be happy or joyful about? I think, first of all, we need to understand what joy is not and actually what joy is. You know, joy actually does not equate to happiness. You know, there's a difference between happiness and joy. You know, you can actually still be joyful when something bad happens. You know, joy actually cannot be conjured up. Joy cannot be produced. Happiness kind of can. You know, if I give you $100, I'm sure I could get a smile on your face, right? Even though you might maybe fake it, but I'm sure, like, I can do something to force a smile upon you. But true joy actually cannot be produced. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, some of us may be familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is actually on that list. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. What's number two?
Joy,
right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, something like that. There are nine of them that are listed, right? But joy is actually number two. You know, joy is actually from the Lord himself. I can't give you joy, but God can. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And this is God's promise. And as his people, we need to claim that promise that God, you say in your word, that it's a fruit of the Spirit. So God, even though I don't feel joyful, would you somehow give me that supernatural joy as I face this trial? You know, another thing when I was thinking about joy is in the Psalms, David in Psalm 16, verse 11, it actually says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. It says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. When we are in God's presence, God's joy comes. Now, what does it mean to really be in God's presence? Like, what does that mean? What does it mean in your presence is fullness of joy? I mean, if there's this fullness of joy that God promises, I want to be there, right? If God says, in my presence, there's fullness of joy, then don't you want to be in that presence? Don't you want to be with the Lord so that you have his joy? How do we cultivate God's presence? How are we to be in his presence? Not just on Sundays, okay, but every day. How can I, as a believer, walk in the presence of the Lord every day of my life? How can I moment by moment be in God's presence? Well, it begins quite simply by spending time with him. Like, how much time do we spend with God each day? I'm not talking about, hey God, what's up? I mean, that's good too, but how often are we spending time with God each day? In his word, meditating on the promises of his word, studying his word, asking God, God, what is your truth saying to me today? How is your truth applicable in my trial today? How is your truth applicable in my situation today? Are we praying to God? Are we really communing with him and saying, God, I need you today because of this trial. I need you today, not just because of the trial, but I need you today because I can't do anything on my own strength. I cannot do anything on my own accord. I need you to pour out your spirit to fill me so that I can live for you. Are we worshiping him on a daily basis? Are we praising him? Are our lives a reflection of God's praise? Is his praise constantly on our lips? What's the first thing you think of when you wake up? Is it, praise Jesus, I'm alive? Or what is it that when you wake up, the first thing on your mind? Is it maybe like, oh, what do I have to do today? But can it be, what are you thankful to God for today? How can I deliver God praise today? You know, God has made us as his people to praise him. How can we live a life of praise each day? You know, maybe it's popping in some worship music and just singing your heart out, not just in the shower, not just in the car, but really inviting God's presence to join you as you worship him, as you sing, as you sing the praises of him, his presence comes. That's why worship is so powerful. When we come together as a body of believers, when we declare God's praises, when we sing songs to praise him, God's presence comes. But he promises in Psalm 16, verse 11, that in his presence, there is that fullness of joy. Now he promises that, but as his people, we have to believe it and we have to access that promise. If we do not believe it, if we don't seek his presence on a daily basis, there's not gonna be joy. There's gonna be misery. There's gonna be pain. There's gonna be suffering when we go through trials. But when we access the presence of the Lord, he promises in his word that in his presence, there is fullness of joy. So I wanna encourage you, brothers and sisters, that perhaps maybe James's charge where it says, consider it pure joy. Maybe that's not that far-fetched after all. Maybe he's saying that when we are in God's presence, we can consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. So I want to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, that if we are in God's presence each day, if we're seeking him heart to heart, that God will show up and he will somehow make that trial a little bit more bearable. You know, it says that my grace is sufficient for you, right? In 2 Corinthians, right? For my power is made perfect, his power is made perfect in our weakness, right? God's grace is sufficient for us. He gives us enough, he doesn't give us more than we can handle, right? If we are living in his presence, if that is the basis of our Christian life, then we will be full of his joy. And when we face trials of any kind, we can say, wow, maybe there is some joy because God is walking me through that trial. Wow, there is joy because God is giving me that last push to get me through that trial. So I just want to close today by inviting the worship team to come up and to just sing a last closing song. But I also want to invite you to stand as we worship together, but to also think about the topic of trials and how it may apply to your life today. And really also asking the Lord, how can I be in your presence, God? How can I access that promise that in your presence there is fullness of joy?